Welcome to Bachelor in Retrospect. I'm Carrie Rosen. I'm a comedy writer.
And I'm Dr. Anne-Marie Navar-Gill, a media studies professor. We're longtime friends and Bachelor fans. And in this podcast, we're going way back in Bachelor history, recapping old seasons and taking Bachelor deep dives to look at how the Bachelor franchise has evolved and how we can see the world evolve through the show.
Join us on our journey through rose ceremonies, weird failed spinoffs, and most dramatic endings ever as we look at The Bachelor in retrospect. Welcome back. We just had too much to say for one episode, so here is the rest of Emily Maynard's season. After the final rose, Chris brings out Emily and says how in love she looks. She says she is and goes, yay. Chris asks her, now that she can talk about it, what is it about Jeff? She says she could talk all day long about all the wonderful qualities he has, but he really brings out something inside of her, which is important. He makes her feel more confident than she's ever been, and he makes her laugh. Chris is like, sorry, every time you wave your hands, I'm blinded. Let me see this rock. Classic. Emily goes, yeah, it's perfect. The season is so well written.
So she hates it. She hates a ring.
It's like the motif of perfect is so good.
Yeah. It's perfect is not a good thing.
Chris tells her Ari is here tonight. Does she still have feelings for him on some level? Emily says when you fall in love, which she did, a part of your heart is always with that person. But it just makes her feel more confident in what she has with Jeff because she picked Jeff even though she had these strong feelings for Ari. That's another thing that wouldn't feel good if I were Jeff. Like, yes, I'm so in love with Ari that it's like actually amazing that I'm with Jeff. Then Ari comes out. He says watching the show helped him. A lot of time's gone by and he still has nothing but love for Emily and he's glad to hear she's happy, but it was tough. He says with a wry smile that viewers got to see a lot of their physical side, but he felt like they had so many good conversations and had a future planned, and he felt it in his heart.
I love Emily this. Ari's dragging his edit as the chemistry guy.
Yeah.
He's like, no,
yeah.
I was better than that. And I think from what we saw, I believe him.
Yeah.
But yes. I think the way people were talking about him was very much like they have all of this physical chemistry. But then Emily would do things like on Fantasy Suites where she's like, but I don't know what your life is. Like, that was bullshit.
Yeah.
Emily. You had good conversations.
Yeah. Emily says she wants him to know she's sorry. He's everything she looked for, and she learned she needs to be more direct and say things, even if it'll hurt in the moment. In the end, she just had more confidence in what she had with Jeff. Ari interrupts, and then he says, sorry to interrupt. I don't think we've ever seen that from a man before on this show.
I don't either. Like, look, the bar is underground, but Ari clears it every time.
Yeah. He says he wishes she'd said to him what she said to Chris. He didn't even know if she was with Jeff, and that would have helped. Emily says she always tries to protect people. It's something she's learned about herself, one of the million things she's not good at. I hate that, like her empowering journey ends with her being like, I'm not good at things. I need to be more direct. I'm sorry. This is all my fault. I'm sorry. Ari reiterates how he didn't think there was anyone else, no one else's story stacked up. She gave him confidence, and he just didn't see it any other way. He was more nervous about what was going to happen after the show. Then with Chris Harrison's prompting, he reveals that after the show, he flew to Charlotte to talk to Emily off camera because he didn't think their story was through. But he has a lot of respect for Jeff, who was his best friend on the show, and respect for Ricky, so he thought better of it when he got there to see her. Instead, he called her and they talked. He left his journal on her doorstep so she could read about his experience. Emily has the journal there, and she takes it out, and it's in a sealed envelope. And Ari can see she never opened it, and he looks sad. She says she didn't read it out of respect to Ari, and especially to Jeff. She didn't feel like it would help anything if she read it. I think she didn't read it because it would make her second guess everything with Jeff.
This is just like how she didn't introduce Ricky to Ari. She doesn't want to know.
Yeah.
She knows it will reveal what she did.
Yeah. She gives Ari his journal back. Part of Ari wishes she'd read the journal because he was so in love with her. He thought once she read it, she'd see he was so genuine and in love with her. Emily is just touched by the fact that he kept a journal after she suggested it to him. Emily, low bar as always. She loves that Ari is so open. It's so rare in any man these days. If Jeff hadn't been there, it would be her and Ari sitting here so happy.
That was such a crazy thing to say.
And she says she knows that they'd be happy for a lot of years, but forever? Like, again, it's like, this seems like so much backhanded stuff at Jeff. Like, oh, it's so rare for men to be open. Like, oh, like, if we'd been together, like, yeah, we would have been together for years. Sure. Like, what do you think, when she keeps saying I had more confidence in what I had with Jeff, what do you think that means?
I think it's like a religious politics type of thing. And I mean, I think she doesn't know that Ari's like, Ari may have different views on that than her, but he's also absolutely spineless about his beliefs. So that wouldn't have been a problem if they'd gotten together.
Like a man should be.
I mean, well, we'll get to it.
But yeah, I could see like Emily, when she says, oh, we could be together for years, but forever. Like, I could see that meaning like, yes, we could date for a while, but ultimately not get married because we have like different religious values.
Right. And like, Jeff is Mormon, but like, they definitely have the same religious values.
Mm. He's Mormon, but he's not more man. Thoughts?
I mean, that seems cracked.
Ari wishes she just told him she's with Jeff and she's happy. And Emily says yes. She thought that would be pouring salt in the wound, but now she realizes it helps people to be direct. And yeah, it just says so much to Emily. It's like thinking that it's like, I can't mention another man in front of him. That'll just make him hurt more.
I have criticized her for that a lot this season. And I do think that's a good lesson for her to take away in the end.
Yeah.
But it would still be a more satisfying ending if she did more than just take away that lesson and actually like,
yeah,
made good choices that showed her personal growth.
She's far from the first lead, but I feel like more men do this. Like, you sit there and watch them break up with their second place. And it's like, why won't they just say that, like, they're more into someone else? Like, like, especially, I remember, like, Jake and Tenley, he, like, went on and on about how, like, he put her on a pedestal. And we were like, just say that you like Vienna. Emily is not the only lead to do this, but I feel like it feels more intense with Ari because, like, they had so much more.
Yeah.
Then Ari reveals that he speaks to Jeff on the phone and they still have a great friendship. He says he called Jeff about Emily, and after hearing they were happy together, it made him feel good. It's unclear, looking at this, if Emily knew that Jeff and Ari talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Ari says that being happy for them pushed him to move on. Watching the show helped, and knowing she's happy. He says, once again, he can't imagine being in her place. Ari's segment ends, and he and Chris Harrison shake hands across Emily, and Emily's body language looks unhappy to me. Now Chris wants to move on to the good news, Jeff. Emily says it was really hard with Ari, and that's a testament to how perfect this group of guys was. Anytime she talked to Ari or thought of Ari, she told Jeff. And then Jeff called Ari and smoothed it over and gave Ari the closure she couldn't. Emily says, I thought, what kind of guy does that? And I think, like, that's an interesting statement that you could read as a positive or negative.
Yep. There's going to be sides in this breakup.
Yeah.
And Ari's not going to be on hers. So,
but yeah, also the like, yeah, anytime I talked to Ari or thought about Ari, like all those times I was thinking about him, I just told Jeff. Emily and Chris just marvel over what a great guy Jeff is. And then Jeff comes out. He affirms that he and Emily are happy and in love. Chris asks him what he loves about Emily. He's like, how much time do you have? She's the most amazing girl in the world. She's so perfect for him. It's so weird that they met the way they did because they're so perfect for each other. He does say she's funny and he wishes they'd shown more of that on the show. That was good.
Yeah, love that from Jeff.
Chris asks if they've spent any time together with Ricky as a family. And Jeff says every weekend they get shipped off to secret locations and Ricky's come a few times. He says she's the most fun, sweetest little 7-year-old in the world. We see pictures of Jeff and Ricky having outdoor adventures like fishing and stuff. Chris asks Emily how Jeff is as a dad, and she says, so great. I mean, I didn't want to take the fish off the hook or catch frogs, so he took over. Wow, what an endorsement. How is he as a dad? Great, I didn't want to go fishing.
Look, this is not nearly as bad as her after the final rose with Brad. Let's like keep it in perspective.
I know, but like, this woman is just so not good at after the final rose. No. It never goes well. Jeff says this life is very different for him, but Ricky is Emily's universe, and she's quickly becoming his universe. He wanted to meet Ricky the whole time. Every day he wanted to meet her. And now that he has, it's exactly what he thought it would be and more, because she's the sweetest little girl ever. She's so well-behaved and fun. Chris says, clearly we have a happy couple, but it looks like we have a happy family, more importantly. They look back on the final days in Curacao, and Emily again says she didn't want to be the girl who gets engaged 15 times before she gets married. But seeing Jeff with Ricky and hearing him say the most beautiful words anyone's ever said to her, she's feeling like she's never felt before. Next, they do the thing that's becoming a regular segment where we watch the couple watch their proposal. I could absolutely do without this.
I think this is such a waste of time.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a no win because we just watched it. And I'm sure then for the people, the two people there who didn't just watch it, I'm sure it's weird to have to like react perform in front of everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe the first one they did was Brad and Emily's. Mm-hmm. And just like that time, Emily smiles and hugs her fiance and he stares blankly. Afterward, Chris says it's got to be amazing to watch that. And after a long pause, they're like, yeah. Chris asks what took Emily so long to say yes after Jeff proposed. Emily's like, I know, I'm sorry. She says she doesn't remember what she was thinking. And again, she says she didn't want to be the girl that gets engaged a bunch of times and never gets married.
So she knew I'm in that moment
she could remember what she was thinking.
Yeah. She's like, oh, gotta do this now.
Jeff does not read the subtext of that. He says he never thought for a second that Emily would say no. And he says this was a surprise to her. He didn't tell Emily he was going to propose or anyone else. He thinks the long pause was because it was such a big surprise. Jeff,
they are on a television show that ends in a proposal.
No one was surprised. This is The Bachelorette. You went to Neil Lane and picked out a ring.
What is he talking about?
It's much more surprising if he doesn't propose.
Yeah.
Emily says it was the perfect moment. She wanted to take a minute and remember how it felt. And Jeff's like, yeah, afterwards we stood around and took it all in for like 20 minutes. That sounds so bleak that they just stood there taking it in. Then, surprisingly, we go to a segment with Chris Harrison where we take a moment to address an important issue for everyone here at The Bachelorette. Protecting our oceans and their most treasured inhabitants. There are places in the world where dolphins and whales are in serious trouble, but we can help by supporting organizations such as the Dolphin Project. And that's it. What was this?
My assumption is that, like, whatever organization they did Ari's date with required them to do this in order to get the dolphin swim comped. But, like, it was very out of place. Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, we haven't seen one of those charity segments in a while. This is the closest we've gotten to that. But it has a radically different tone.
Oh, yeah. Remember when The Bachelor used to give back? Well, the thing that's even worse for the Dolphin Project here is, like, obviously this was pre-filmed. And the moment for the Aurora shooting was live. But it feels like the dolphins get so much more, like, time and... attention.
Yeah.
Then we go back to Chris Harrison and Emily and Jeff to talk about the future. What's the first thing they want to do in public? Jeff is like this and kisses her. He's no Ari. He's not even a Dave Good.
No.
Emily says she wants to do a humanitarian trip to Africa. I bet it's because she loves elephants so much.
They did Remember do that? This. So
that's good.
Yeah. One of the only things about their relationship that ages well.
Well, so like Jeff says, he's going to take Emily to Africa with his company People Water and they're going to build wells. And like, it's especially like knowing that they did go, it's like, Emily, you don't need a man to go to Africa. Like if I were writing this, it would end with Emily going to Africa by herself and riding an elephant into the sunset.
With no men and no Ricky. Her by herself. Nope.
Just her and the elephant.
Yep.
So Emily and Jeff's long-term plan is for Jeff to move to Charlotte so they don't uproot Ricky from her life. Jeff will get his own place and they'll combine their lives and plan a wedding. Chris Harrison's like, did you say wedding? Emily says, I'm a girl, so I've already been looking at places. She's thinking Charleston. Jeff doesn't care. All that matters is that he's with his best friend. I think it's nice that he wants to invite Ari.
I think if they had gotten married, they definitely would have had a plantation wedding.
Absolutely. I mean, it probably would have been at the Greenbrier, which is giving plantation.
Right.
Chris wishes them the best. That's kind of it. They don't get a trip to go back to Curacao. They don't talk about how the tabloids are destroying them. I think this is the first finale where we haven't. Mm-hmm. And Emily never does the Running Man. Anne-Marie, what age the best?
This is hard. Not
I much didn't really have a lot. Yeah.
But I guess I'm going to go with Michael Stagliano saying Ari won't have trouble with women after this.
Yeah, yeah. I put Emily said about their Africa trip, we're going to be more in love or hate each other. Mm. And I think in general, Emily's very clear doubts about getting engaged to Jeff aged well.
Yeah. Another thing that I had was Sean during his hot seat. Emma Until All talks about how his mom told him that Emily breaking his heart would be good for him in the long run because no one had ever broken his heart before. And I thought mm-hmm. that aged pretty well just because yeah. more men should have their hearts broken, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also if he hadn't had his heart broken, he wouldn't have been the bachelor and met his wife.
Yeah. that's like, I have so many age
yeah.
slurs. Right?
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Oh, wait. I forgot okay. the biggest one. Chris Harrison at the Men Tell All? Question mark?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get more into him in Chris Harrison Watch.
Right. But... We don't have to dissect it, but like,
yeah.
this is the one time I was like, yes, get him, Chris.
Yeah, like... yeah. What age the worst?
Okay, so I have to say, like, there's so many, but... Mm-hmm. My favorite one is where Chris and Emily are talking about cat videos, and they're like, it's so embarrassing to watch cat videos on the internet. It's even more embarrassing to make cat videos on the internet. You have to get a husband before you start a YouTube channel to make cat videos and publish them because no one would ever want to be with someone who has a YouTube channel. That's the fucking dream. What are you talking about? None of that is lame or weird. All of that is what every single one of my students today aspires to have their life be.
Yeah, except it's not YouTube anymore, right?
It's still kind of YouTube. Like, micro celebrity is cross-platform.
As we know well.
Yeah.
I had, in the preview for Bachelor Pad, Blakely says she needs money so bad she needs to put food in her refrigerator and gas in her car. And then they go to Kale and he's like, I need helicopter fuel. And it just felt like very mean spirit to kind of like make a joke if Blakely is really so destitute that she doesn't have food.
On a Kaylin note, one of mine is that when the guys are dragging Kaylin at Mental Wall, they focus much more on his like grooming habits, which sound like good hygiene to me, than on his asshole behavior, of which there is plenty to choose from.
At one point, and like, I think maybe it's, I forget when this is, but Chris asks Emily her type. Yeah. She says it's tattooed, homeless looking guys. And Chris cracks up, like, tattooed, homeless man. And yeah, just feels a little like.
Yeah, I didn't like that. That quote is very, very famous.
And oh, really?
Yes. People talk about it a lot when they're talking about Emily, like, in retrospect. And how. Mm-hmm. People think she just, like, there's no way she was going to get married to anyone on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. She'd probably already picked out her real husband. Like,
wow.
And it's such a throwaway packed into the blooper segment, but people people have really dissected that. Probably the one that, like, I really like, and I kind of said this before, but it's when Ari's behavior ages well. Ari doesn't really want to talk to Emily and drag it out during the breakup while she's, like, begging him to talk to her. And he was fine. But if you were all caps live tweeting, Ari, stop following her like a fucking psychopath. She told you to leave on March 5th, 2018. You know why this aged the worst.
Wow. I can't wait to revisit his season now that I have,
I am so excited because I thought he was so fucking lame.
The worst, yeah.
And now I'm just like, oh my God, no one's ever been this sexy. Like,
yeah. Chris Bukowski saying the opportunity he had with Emily comes around once in a lifetime didn't age well, knowing that he comes back on the show like 5 times.
Yeah. Also with Chris, when Chris Harrison says to Chris Bukowski that it's hard, especially for a guy, to be vulnerable and admit your feelings. Like, what? Like, there's multiple things there. Like, men shouldn't have emotions. Men's emotions are more important and special and valid. Like, there's a lot going on there that didn't like that.
Well, and I feel like the sister answer to that is when Emily goes, "I'm a girl, so I'm already picking out my wedding."
Exactly. It's like, yes.
This episode say, women like weddings, men don't like feelings.
Yep.
At one point, like, it was a cute blooper where, like, they're interviewing Emily and she's wearing a Queen Elizabeth mask. And, like, they're like, "Queen Elizabeth, who do you think Emily should pick?" But today, that wouldn't be Queen Elizabeth's decision. It would be King Charles's.
And either way, we don't really want to hear from them anymore. The monarchy out.
But actually, I think King Charles would be a huge Ari fan because, in a way, like, King Charles is the original Mesnick.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Ooh, that hurts.
Wow. That's an amazing point. King Charles, the original Jason Mesnick. He would have wanted Emily to change his mind and go to Ari, I think.
Yeah, I do too. I was going to say Paisley's assessment of Jeff, which is absolutely insane.
Like, in general, everyone, like, there's so much in these episodes of Jeff saying how ready he is for a family and to settle down, and people saying that about Jeff. And I think that all really takes the cake.
Yes. Anyone who had positive opinions about Jeff, the disaster that Jeff Holm has been in the last 12 years, like, I'm going to talk about a lot of it, but I'm barely going to scratch the surface. He's a demon.
Wow. Chris Harrison watch.
Weird week for us with Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
Chris Harrison spoke for me.
Well, I put, like, finally his love of dragging people has aligned with us.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's important that this is the first men tell all where we're getting villains.
Yeah.
Oh, because, true. Yeah, because, like, you know, he, like, dragged Natalie and Rosalind, and we were like, can't wait to see how he is with a dude. And then, like, no dude showed up to give him the opportunity.
Is it maybe not that Chris Harrison has changed, but just that our misandry is as consistent as Chris Harrison's love of dragging villains?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, it's too bad we don't have more of a frame of reference to see how, like, him being a single guy would affect how he is with the guys. Like, or if he's trying to score more points with the women in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like a lot of this is, like, it feels like we're entering the peak Chris Harrison era.
Yeah, and he felt very out of it for this season, but I just feel like, especially, and, you know, I made a lot of, like, did he touch Spivey's boob? But I do think that, like, by the time we get to, you know, but when the season starts filming in, like, March, he is freshly separated. It's not public yet. When after the final Rose films at the end of July, I think he has more settled into his new single life. And he has a different energy and a different pep in his step.
But I did notice, like, in the cat video moment, he goes, "I need to get you a man first." And it's interesting how he's acting like it's, again, like Chris Harrison, God of Love, like, it's my job to do this for you.
Yeah.
And then also with her going to him for advice, like they're leaning a little more into, like, Chris Harrison as master of ceremonies.
Yeah.
I also noticed so when he goes and visits the audience, like the alumni, he says to JP, like, "Come on up, big boy." And then Deanna, he says, "Come here, baby." And it does feel a little more paternalistic than you'd think that he, like, it's surprising to me the way it was when he called Ari kid, of like, why do you want to make yourself seem old? But maybe he thinks it makes him look like mature and sophisticated. Like, these are just little boys. And I am
a man. I also feel like he's like pretty freshly 40 here as well. And like maybe having a thing about that.
Chris is 40. Like that movie, this is 40.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, we're not 40 for a few years, but I imagine I'm going to have a total fucking breakdown.
I'm going to be pretty cool. There's a lot of Chris, like, dunking on the guys and, like, loving the audience applause. And he obviously gets that more for Kaylin. Like, he asked Kaylin about the moment where he told Emily to run off, like, during the Shakespeare rehearsals. And Kaylin's like, oh, it's just because, like, she was sick. So I thought she should go get some rest. And Chris is like, well, you could have said, hey, sweetie, why don't you go get some soup? Instead, it's, hey, piss off. And the audience loves it. And Chris Harrison loves that they love it. We referenced this earlier, but it's interesting to me that we're joking about Jake Pavelka now.
You know, Chris has sort of had an uneasy, like, alignment, disalignment. Am I... where do I put myself in relation to this guy now that his reputation is so bad?
And like last time we saw Jake Pavelka, he was, it was the week, the same week he was getting the like sympathetic edit on the finale of Bachelor Pad. And then he was on The Hater that same week.
Yes.
So I mean, like the show seemed to leave on a pretty like okay with Jake Pavelka play. So it's interesting to me that now we're entering the era where we joke about him being a terrible bachelor.
Yeah, and he gets, like, he'll get dragged a lot of times on this show. Like, people love to reference back to him as a bad bachelor. And then, like, he randomly makes a cameo appearance later, but...
Oh, God. We keep saying we're not going to see him again.
And he keeps coming back. That's the only season of the show that I ever started and didn't finish.
Finally, there's a part where, like, Emily says that she can't sing. And like, so, like, it's a blooper where they're like tucking the egg into bed, like Travis's egg, and they sing the egg like a lullaby. And Emily is like, oh, like, I can't sing. Like, when I try to sing, like, Ricky says, let's read a story instead. And Chris says, at least the egg didn't talk back, which harkens to Chris Harrison's frequent harshness with his children.
Yep.
He's always calling them liars and telling them not to talk back.
Yeah,
always. Okay, well, I guess now there's nothing left to do but check in with how everyone's, with what happened after this season of television.
So we're going to do this, like, there's a lot here. So first, I'm going to talk about Emily and Jeff and Ari for a while. And then we'll get into where are they now, because... yeah. Emily and Jeff and Ari are the triangle that keeps on giving. And Emily is not the center of this triangle. Jeff is the center of this triangle.
Wow.
So, obviously this is happening in late July. Jeff and Emily go public. They do all their press tours. They are going to be together forever, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, like, 2 weeks after this is Cassie Lambert and Peter Skalitar's wedding. Jeff, Emily, and Ari are all in attendance. And Courtney Robertson reports back from this that, like, it's very obvious that this relationship is horrible. She says Emily was flirting with Ben, trying to make Jeff jealous. Jeff told Courtney that he wasn't having a good time at this wedding because they didn't have anything in common. And a tabloid story said that Jeff left the wedding, the reception, in a huff alone while Emily stayed back dancing with a bunch of guys.
A huff with one F.
So. For the next month or so, there's, like, all kinds of rumors in the tabloids that their relationship is on the rocks. That they've been fighting. Jeff called Emily a bad mom, people say. Emily thinks Jeff is immature. Emily thinks Jeff is boring. Emily calls him the Borman. Like, which I was like,
there's that sense of humor we didn't get to see.
Yes. And so then the real bombshell happens in September when Us Weekly puts out this big cover story that says Emily has been caught cheating. And the story says, with sources close to Jeff's family, who are going to reveal themselves shortly, that the Holmes went on a family vacation at the beach in South Carolina. They're all renting a house. Jeff discovers in the middle of the night that Emily has been sexting NFL quarterback Matt Leinart, who you might remember as the quarterback of USC when we were in college.
I know who that is.
Yes. At this time, he had just been traded to the Oakland Raiders. But they've been doing this. They had a huge fight in front of the whole family. And Jeff kicked her out of the house with all of her stuff and Ricky in the middle of the night. And, like, the story says that, like, there were all kinds of, like, texts and pictures. Let's do this and that to each other. Like, very, very dirty. And Jeff is like, you've been cheating on me the whole time we've been together, obviously. Emily tells People magazine, of course this didn't happen. This is a lie. Jeff goes on Twitter and says, you can't trust your own family. They'll make up any lies to get their name in print. So this is when the source is close to Jeff. Jeff's brother, Mike, double the fuck down.
Not the one that
he was there, but I don't think he had a single line in the hometown visit. So Mike goes back to Us Weekly and is like, no, I'm going on the record. I'm putting my name on this shit. This story is 100% accurate. Like, this is exactly what happened. I was there. I watched her leave in the middle of the night. He doubles down. He says, I can tell you that it's all 100% true. I was there. I heard the fight. I watched the whole thing go down. Emily leaving and everything. I love my brother very much. And like the rest of our family, I just wanted to be happy. So Jeff's family is like against them in the press. So Jeff and Emily go on Good Morning America to deny the rumors and to denounce Jeff's family. Emily says, obviously, she's not cheating on Jeff. And what really troubles her heart is that Jeff has been so betrayed by his loved ones that they would go to the tabloids with his stuff as a story. They announced that they're going to move in together.
How long after the finale was this?
We're in September. So the finale is like two months. Mid to late July.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a month and a half maybe. So Jeff supposedly moves to Charlotte right after this. We don't really see a ton of this. And then we've had Emily's cheating scandal. Now it's time for Jeff's cheating scandal. Jeff's ex-girlfriend, Kaylee Shepherd, says that this story about Emily sexting Matt Leinart is totally accurate. She knows it because right after this happened, Jeff called her and confided in her about it and talked about it and told him the relationship really wasn't what it seemed to the public and he was really unhappy. And then people are saying he is cheating on Emily with Kaylee now. Mm-hmm. And supposedly he is spotted kissing her. So in October 2012, Emily and Jeff announced the end of their engagement. They give statements to People magazine saying that this was, you know, difficult and heartbreaking, but they really believe in love and are just at different points in their lives. They're so grateful that they've learned this and want some privacy. Jeff says he's never loved someone so much in his whole life, and he's so happy that she opened up her world to him, and he fell in love with her, Ricky, her family, and the Hendrixes, which I think is funny. he says it was genuine, but they're going on to the next chapter of their lives. They're not going on to the next chapter of their lives. We are just getting started.
Wow.
So Emily and Jeff are like, oh yeah, we're going to remain great friends. So this is when stuff starts coming out about Jeff and how much he loves young girls. Jeff is seen out with a few like college girls in this period of time. But he and Emily are also spotted together several times. Most notably, they're caught having a huge fight in the airport in Charlotte. So as the fall goes on, they're like kind of seeing each other, kind of seeing other people, having a lot of drama and back and forth. As we're approaching the holidays, though, it kind of seems like they're going to get back together. At JP and Ashley's wedding, which is on December 1st, they're hooking up. They've been photographed together a bunch. It seems like they're getting back together in time for Christmas. But then Jeff gets up in Emily's hotel room one morning, drives to LAX, picks up one of his college girls and his buddy Ari, although maybe Ari was at the wedding, and I was already there.
Uh-huh.
And the three of them go to the San Diego Zoo together, this college girl, Ari, and Jeff. And they're photographed all over the place, okay?
That's like the lamest thing to be caught doing. I love it.
I know, right?
It wasn't just the cheetahs spotted at the zoo. Is that
so? Yeah. I mean, that's very Gossip Girl. Very Gossip Girl. But yes, cheetahs have spots. You're right.
Yeah.
So Ari, Jeff, and this girl who just finished her finals are at a San Diego Zoo, and Emily sees the paparazzi pics and absolutely loses it. And this is when things really, I think, blow up for good. But it doesn't blow up, like, smoothly. They are having public fights again. They are blackmailing each other, saying, I have all this shit on you in my phone that I can release. Emily accuses Jeff of being fame hungry, not wanting to go this. Jeff keeps tweeting every day all kinds of trash about how Emily is cheap and dishonest. There's no amicable statements like they made the first breakup, right? It's nasty. Now let's talk about Ari. So according to Courtney Robertson, after Emily and Jeff broke up, she would sext Ari all the time, just like she was sexting Matt Leinart, because she was trying to get back together with him. So this doesn't seem to have gone anywhere that I can tell. One thing I kind of tried to avoid was, what is Ari's retrospective perspective on his relationship with Emily? Because I think the time to dissect that is going to be further down the road. So I didn't really look into that. But I do think
I'm just relieved that she tried to get back together with Ari before trying to get back together with Jeff.
Oh, no, I think this was after. I'm not clear on the timing, to be honest.
I just, like, if you're Emily, you have to try to get back together with Ari. I'm glad she did.
I do think that you should try. I'm not clear on when it happened. But I feel like what probably happened, although I didn't confirm this, is probably that he, like, basically took Jeff's side in their breakup because Emily cheated first. And he was kind of disillusioned by, like, her behavior in the relationship with Jeff, you know?
She was sexting him.
Right. And she was sexting him, which was consistent with all of the bad things being said about her in the press, right? So then we get to, like, what is kind of the true romance and breakup of this season. Jeff and Ari. And Emily and Jeff's situation, very messy. Not as messy as Jeff and Ari. And a lot of this is a mystery. But there's a lot of good gossip around it. And so I kind of want to say, like, you know, after the final rose sets the stage, they weirdly were very able to maintain this friendship in the immediate aftermath. They hung out and partied together all the time. Ari has this fling with Courtney Robertson, but she wants him to commit and he doesn't really want to commit. And they kind of go back and forth and have a weird close friendship and sometimes act like they're going to date and then don't, all the way up until when he becomes the bachelor. But Ari and Jeff are constantly together once Emily and Jeff break up. And, you know, like, this is the gossip. I'll talk about, like, what kinds of information people claim to have at different times. But basically, it's a pretty good story if you believe the gossip. So they start out. They are partying. Jeff loves young girls. They are going through those ASU sororities like it is their job. There's a lot of talk about the legendary ASU Snapchats of this era, proving that all these different girls were hooking up with Jeff and Ari at ASU.
And I want to remind that, isn't ASU Ben Flanick's alma mater?
It is, which is weird because ASU's reputation is for being the school with the hottest people and the biggest parties. And I just don't feel like Ben Flanick is that vibe.
He brings the wine.
Anyway, so Ari and Jeff are being, like, big fuckboys.
They suffer from being a fuckboy.
Yes. Okay. So this is where I'm about to bring Ben Flanick back, but we'll get to it. So there's all kinds of stuff around, like, 2013, 2014. They're just, like, running through the 18 to 22 year old girls, constantly. Their reputations both, like, absolutely plummet because everything is in the toilet. Like they're just, like, behaving badly. Right. There's also, like, starts to be a little bit of whispering around this time that, like, Jeff in particular might be willing to go younger than 18. The red flags were there. We saw them all along, right?
Yeah.
And so to talk about our friend Ben Flanick, right? Remember in Ashley's season, he talks about this period of his life where after a trauma, he suffered from being a fuckboy. Well, Ari is kind of suffering from being a fuckboy, and I understand Ben Flanick a little more. Look at me defending Ari being a fuckboy.
but also, like, at least we could see the origin story of Ari being a fuckboy. Ben Flanick, like,
yes.
Who knows? Yeah.
And so Ari is, you know, fucking away the heartbreak, being like a total dick. But at some point, as the legend goes, Ari kind of grew out of this. He said, you know, I'm 32 years old. I have a successful real estate career plus my racing on the side. I used to be an adult. I think I could go back and like start being an adult. Jeff was never an adult to begin with. So Jeff doesn't change. And Ari starts to change. And tension starts to grow between them. And Ari is getting a little judgmental of Jeff and how young Jeff is willing to go. Okay. Then at Sean and Catherine's wedding in January 2014, Jeff brings a date to this wedding, who is probably pretty young. There are different versions of this story where she is a hooker. But that is one of those things that like probably Reddit made up. But Jeff brings a date to this wedding. Jeff is being mean to his date at this wedding. Ari comes in and like saves the day and like blows up at Jeff. They have an enormous fight and Ari leaves the wedding and goes home with Jeff's date that night. And this is the end of Jeff and Ari's friendship.
This only made me like Ari more.
Okay, so we're going to talk about this. So Ari and Jeff part ways. Jeff continues to be an absolute menace to society, which I'll talk about in like, where are they now? Some of the shit he's done. I'm going to talk about Ari a little more now, though. So Ari very much continues to act like a fuckboy, but it's a more age-appropriate, grown-up kind of mess. And a lot of his exes from this period A fuck man, yes. have very complimentary things to say about him. And so I've seen people describing this online as like, yes, Ari was a player, but he was like ethical about it, mostly. You know? He definitely like did some crazy things. There's a story about him like getting caught by somebody doing something and like jumping out of a window in his boxers. I don't know if that's true, but like there's all kinds of stories from this, right? But there is one that I want to touch on a little bit because I think a lot of what goes on in this period is more suited to talking about the lead up to his season and the kind of smear campaign that his enemies in Bachelor Nation, including Reality Steve, went on. Trying to use this era of fuckboy antics to, like, convince everyone he was going to be the worst bachelor before anything had even started. One of the stories from this time that is, like, I think more urban legend than proved conclusively, but I'll talk a little bit about where it comes from. So it starts – is the story of Ari's fuck spreadsheet, okay? So this begins on Bachelor Reddit. This couple, they have two different accounts where they're posting different versions of this story, comes on Reddit and they say they live in Ari's condo complex, they're neighbors, and they're so annoyed with him and they hate everything about how he behaves. He's such a fuckboy. And one thing that they know through like a mutual friend who dated him and was snooping in his house is that he has this detailed spreadsheet of all of his hookups where he writes like who they were, how they met, what they did, et cetera. It's like very organized. So you can just like keep track. That's a fuck man. So organized, right? So the people that bring this to like, so this kind of explodes off of Reddit as if it's a proven fact, even though these people do it. So the people who originated this rumor, they are able to prove that they are Ari's neighbors in the condo. But it kind of also comes out that they're having, like, some neighbor issue. Like, there's, like, a battle over parking going on between this couple and Ari, who are, like, next-door neighbors, right? So they're just having, like, a housing-type dispute. And over the years, this couple, they put out some really creepy pics of Ari and Lauren, like, walking dogs and stuff over the years. They're very weird. But the story about the spreadsheet goes from Reddit and just kind of goes everywhere to the point where for a while the Bachelor Reddit banned talking about it because the rest of the world had picked it up as fact when it was like a rumor they were discussing on the Reddit. But I'm going to say I believe it a little bit. And, you know, a highly organized ethical fuckboy, like, am I being crazy if I say this still works for me?
I watch so much Friends over the pandemic, and I noticed that the Friends go to the movies a lot, and I made a spreadsheet of every time the Friends went to the movies and what I thought they might have seen. Uh-huh. And, like, I understand the urge to be like, I'm going to make a spreadsheet out of this.
I support it. I'm not going to lie. So, anyway, at the end of the day, when we're talking about Ari and Jeff, one thing that I think is worth noting is how Bachelor production felt about Ari and Jeff after the fact. Ari was one of their favorite people that they ever had on this show. The producers would always talk about how if you mentioned someone that they thought was sincere and genuinely heartbroken and, like, really hurt by what happened to them in the show because they were really, truly in it, they would always say, oh, obviously Ari. And he was in the discussion to be the lead basically every year. They always wanted to bring him back. And they would tell the story of, like, the behavior that everyone was talking about, right, him engaging in now through the lens of, like, someone trying to bury, like, a really soul-wrenching heartbreak, right? They would always frame him that way. And he was almost The Bachelor in 2015. They had already started filming intro packages, but then they switched to Chris Soules at the last minute. Obviously, eventually, they do bring him back for the 2018 season. Jeff, they hate his ass. They hate him so much. He is always trying to get back on any Bachelor show, and he is hardcore blackballed, and they won't speak about it.
He wanted to be on Bachelor in Paradise.
He really wanted to be on Paradise. And he even set up a storyline with Christina Schulman one year. But I'll get to that. So that is the story of our three main characters and the relationships between them for now.
All right, well, before we say goodbye, let's do one final check-in with the Bachelorette class of season 8.
All right. So this is probably going to be the most anticlimactic version of this we've ever done, because this season is one that birthed a whole bunch of people with a long future with the show. Sean, Ari, obviously Chris Bukowski, Kaylin, even like Tony, who left in week 2, are going to be to be continued stories. But here's a few things. So Michael, who had long hair and was the person that Ryan told that he wanted to be the Bachelor, sadly passed away in 2017. Oh. He was really memorialized by the cast. Emily, Chris Bukowski, Sean, Ari all, like, put up big tributes to him and his work with Addicts and all of the great stuff that he did before he passed away. Charlie, of the traumatic brain injury, is a dad. His social media is mostly about how Breitbart is great and Bernie Sanders is a, quote, dipshit. Alejandro is a wildly successful entrepreneur. He's Forbes 30 under 30. He survived cancer. And he's the CEO of a gardening company and a mentorship entrepreneur. He is like highly involved with the business school at Berkeley and, like, helping alumni find connections. So Tony goes on Bachelor Pad 3. He has an ill-fated Bachelor Nation engagement. Today, he remains the exact same lumber trader and dad with a passion for fitness, but he does have a nice blended family. Kaylin goes on to Bachelor Pad 3, also finds a bee in romance that doesn't last. He later appears on Paradise, where famously he dates himself. Today, he seems to mostly golf a lot, and he's with a blonde woman named Emily, who looks a lot like Emily. both of their Instagrams, though, are full of baggage, because every single thing either of them post is people, like, saying terrible things about Kaylin and how he behaved on this show 12 years ago. I feel especially bad for this Emily, because she wasn't even on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't find much on Travis. People dug up a business website for him a few years ago on Reddit, but it's defunct. None of the Travis Pope's Instagrams I found seem to be him. I found a LinkedIn that maybe could be him, but it didn't have a picture. And I found a real estate employee company profile where too much of his face was obscured by, like, stuff to be sure if it was him. But I think it was. And I think that's what he's doing. So Ryan found his trophy wife, who he describes in all his social media bios as a godly woman. They have 2 kids and continue to run fitness centers together. His social media is exactly what you would expect. A lot of Trump, a lot of Tucker Carlson, and a Twitter thread where he writes very hard for Luke Parker while slut-shaming Hannah Brown in 2019. Seriously, happened to watch Bachelor ABC only to see liberal Hollywood sink its teeth into Alabama Hannah and destroy her spiritual influence. Luke questions his potential soon-to-be wife about having sex with other men, and that's somehow uncalled for. LOL, get out of here. Bachelor ABC fans, Chris Harrison, and all producers, since my time on the show, I've watched the manipulation of those who profess faith in Christ. This is the worst. Congrats, Luke, for standing your ground. Poor Hannah, counseled by fools.
Wow.
John lives in Jupiter, Florida, with his former NFL cheerleader wife and their two kids. He sells real estate like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, Doug gave a TED Talk entitled Can One Person Change the World, which was about his nonprofit.
Right, Superman. And,
like, mostly it was just him saying kind of the same things he said on the show about his life. You know, saying his life is not a lot fancy about my life. It's really long and kind of awkward. He's not the best public speaker. He does talk more about his traumatic backstory and Austin and how his mother was terrible to them. And, you know, he also reveals that he has a really serious autoimmune disease. He didn't even get a chance to talk about that trauma in the show.
No.
But he's in the comments of his own TED Talk talking about how nervous he was and how he feels like he could have done better. And I was like, LOL, there's humble Doug.
I'm not smart. I'm not dumb.
And I mean, he could have done better. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
That YouTube account is has posted 3 years ago a few videos of classic cars, but that was really about all I could find from him. His nonprofit is not on Charity Navigator, and I couldn't find a website, so I don't know what to say about this, and I don't know if he's gotten therapy or gotten over some of his fear of women.
So we don't know if he's married to a woman.
We have no idea.
Wow.
Chris Bukowski obviously will be back an infinite number of times. We'll talk about him at some point in the future. And of course, Sean and Ari go on to be the 17th and 22nd Bachelors, so we'll pick back up on their stories at a later date. But everyone knows they are both successfully married bachelors, a rarity. Now, the main event. Jeff Holm. So after breaking up with both Emily and Ari, Jeff has spent the last 10 years being an absolute menace to society. People Water was kind of a scam and ended eventually. And while the producers haven't let him back on TV, he's continued to deliver all kinds of reality TV drama. He had messy relationships and breakups with Christina Schulman from Nick's season, Francesca from Too Hot to Handle, and I think Angela from Big Brother 20. She talked about him on live feeds, but he clearly hadn't signed the release, so they cut away before she could really get into the details, but it sounded like they had a thing. He also replaced Ari with a Bachelor Nation boys gang of the absolute worst dudes you can think of. Josh Murray, Chris Soules, DeMario, Chad Johnson, and most importantly, Robbie Hayes and Chase McNary, who he met at a party the weekend of Nick's Men Tell All and invited them to live with him in his Venice Beach home. Their relationship, particularly between him and Robbie, I don't know how long Chase stayed. Robbie stayed for a long time. And in 2021, Jeff filed for a restraining order against Robbie in LA County Court, saying this: Robert used to live at my house, but does not now. He continues to enter the premises and harass me, and I do not feel safe around him. He threatens me and still hasn't stopped to this day. He claims he has belongings there, and that's why he enters, but he's not on the lease and is making me fearful. And he said Robbie would do this at least once a week. Robbie then went to Page Six to tell his side of the story. He says he is the victim, that Jeff has harassed, physically abused, and threatened him, and that the restraining order left him and his dog homeless. Oh. Hayes told us via email, just imagine coming home from a four-day work trip and your roommate, Jeff Holm, who's actually been the one harassing, physically abusing, and making threats of violence and throwing your personal belongings to the curb, has broken down the door to your room, moved all your stuff out, and changed the locks. Then, in an attempt to keep you away from your home, he files a legal document to get a restraining order in place where you couldn't even step within 100 yards of the place you've called home for 4.5 years, leaving you and your puppy homeless. Jeff's request for a restraining order, however, was ultimately dismissed because Jeff did not show up to court.
He had one job, Jeff.
Yeah. So, Jeff and Robbie's relationship, I have questions. That seems really crazy.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know, but it seems really crazy. That's all that I know, is that it didn't. That said, while he replaced Ari with Robbie, he clearly never got over the hurt in his heart for losing Ari, because he is Ari's most dedicated public hater. When Ari was named The Bachelor, Jeff went on an absolute tear, giving interviews, posting all over social media about what a dick Ari was, saying that he leaked some old text messages and said that he would leak so many more. He obviously never did this, probably because whatever Ari has on him is worse than whatever he has on Ari.
Yeah.
And the text messages he leaked were kind of about Ari talking about maybe being the bachelor. Like, I think the first time he was really seriously in negotiations and he's like, Ari is so calculated and fame hungry. I cut him out of my life because of what a bad person he is. And sure. He just, like, you know, was all over the place. So importantly, one thing that Jeff did while on his hate campaign for Ari was he tweeted the following. He said that he would bet Ari $5,000 that he wouldn't last with anyone from the show for a year. And crucially, that was his precise wording. He didn't say your final
pick. Anyone from the show.
Anyone from the show. So Ari, like, oh, I watched the interview where Ari responds to this, and there are so many things that I could say about how charming it was and how he's like, LOL, The Bachelor is so silly, and that's why I'm having fun being The Bachelor, because you just can't take it too seriously. It's very cute. But what he says about Jeff is he says, I know Jeff's throwing some shade at me a little bit, but we haven't spoken in 4 years. I don't really know what's going on with him, but I guess he would have lost his own bet. And that's all that Ari says about this for a little over a year. But he lay in wait, and on his 1 year anniversary with Lauren, Ari took a few moments out of his day to jump on Twitter and prove that it isn't just the fact that Jeff has been dogged by rumors of hooking up with underage girls that makes Ari the Kendrick and Jeff the Drake in this beef. He tweeted, pay up Jeff Holm, put that trust fund money into something positive instead of bottle service, asshole. Emily liked a screenshot of this tweet on Instagram. Jeff has yet to pay up.
Wow.
Moving on to Miss Emily. While Jeff and Ari were date swapping at Sean's wedding in January 2014, Emily was getting engaged to Tyler Johnson, a man she met at church. They married later that year. As Emily said, my fourth engagement is my last, and I really mean it. Including Ricky, they now have 6 children. Their youngest was born in 2022 with Down syndrome, and Emily has been, like, very outspoken about advocating for his disability. She still has, like, 660,000 Instagram followers. She posts mostly about being a mom and a little bit about Christianity. And she continues to be very image conscious in terms of how she presents herself in public. She's really managed to avoid touching a single thing that would be controversial with any group of people in her public image for all these years. Unfortunately for her, many of the things that I think she doesn't want to talk about in public are now being brought to light by little Ricky. Little Ricky's 18 now. She's very eager to express herself on the internet. She has 20,000 followers of her own. She recently graduated high school a few weeks ago and will be attending Palm Beach Atlantic University, whose tagline is God-sized dreams, in the fall. She's recently been in some hot water on social media because she has been making a bunch of transphobic posts and then fighting with people who criticize her about how her mom raised her to be like this. She is showing her Christian values. She also recently hard launched her boyfriend with a black and white photograph showcasing him in a Keep America Great muscle tee. So a lot of the things that Emily has deliberately not touched for years and years and years, Ricky is out there talking about. And I'd like to conclude by reading an excerpt from the Palm Beach Atlantic University website. Sexual immorality, including fornication, adultery, and homosexual behavior, is prohibited in the scripture. Romans 1:26-28, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8, and Matthew 5:28. Because our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:13-20. In addition, all use or involvement with pornographic materials is sinful and forbidden at Palm Beach Atlantic, as are all forms of sexual abuse, exploitation, and harassment. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, 1 Thessalonians 4:6, 1 Timothy 1:9-10. Palm Beach Atlantic expects that their students, faculty, and staff will neither engage in nor promote views of sexuality or gender expression that contradicts biblical standards. Romans 1:21-27, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, Genesis 2:24, Ephesians 5:31. I'm done now.
Congratulations. Congratulations to the bachelorette class of 2012. You really did it. Nothing like watching a little girl knowing she's going to grow up to be a transphobe. It's powerful stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, at least she's not a transphobe with Jeff Holm for a father.
Yeah. You know, maybe meeting Ari for one day really could have. Like, the fact that she's, like, grown up to be, like, this transphobe, and it's like, oh, but, like, God forbid she meets some guy that her mom's not engaged to.
I mean, I'm sure that her parents are very supportive of her transphobia.
I mean, like, obviously it's terrible if Emily believes the same thing and just doesn't say it, but, like, not saying it is also good. Like,
yeah, I agree. I think it's great that Emily has not said a thing about this for the last 12 years.
Like, at least that's respecting. I don't care
if it's about her image.
Like, it's good that she at least understands that she has a platform and she shouldn't use that platform for this. And Ricky clearly doesn't get that.
Yeah. Well, she's very young.
Yeah, and this generation's all about authenticity.
Well, I think we have one thing that we promised we'd do at the end of this season, Carrie.
Does Ari deserve some rights? I just made that song up.
It wasn't your best work, I'm not going to lie.
No. No.
And the Doug song was better.
Aw, you love the Doug song?
I hate the Doug song.
Well, okay. Are we doing yes or no? Or could it be a scale from, like,
I think, I think we should talk about the evidence before we decide. So what's the evidence? Mm-hmm. Does Ari deserve rights?
He asks Emily questions and possibly other women. Mm-hmm. He thinks about how his life could fit into Emily's. He is clearly good at pleasing a woman, mm-hmm. emotionally and sexually. He suffered from being a fuckboy, but had the wisdom to understand that he should move past that and disavowed his friend Jeff for being predatory. More of a fuckboy. Yeah. But it's like, in a world where most men don't deserve rights, it's not like Ari is, like, amazing, you know? Like,
no. No. I mean, it's the bar is underground. But Ari's, like, not terrible. So for me, and I know we haven't talked, like, a lot about, like, Ari's life now in respect to this. But for me, mm-hmm. a lot of whether you deserve rights comes down to how you treat the rights of other people. Mm-hmm. And for me, a flaw that Ari has is that although the only example of him expressing any type of, like, sociopolitical opinion that I'm aware of is that he supported Bernie in 2016. His wife is a little more problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And
Maynard-like.
Maynard-like, yes. Let's say that. And I think he prefers to be a good husband than maintain whatever principles led him to support Bernie. And that has me feeling a little uneasy, you know?
It's like he's so respectful of women, it loops around and becomes a bad thing.
I mean, that's crazy. But yeah, sure. I don't know. I feel like maybe he could have a little bit of rights, but, like,
yeah. I mean, I know it's been a while with him and Lauren and their whole thing, but he might just always be in the position of, like, needing to make it up to her, you know?
It's true. He messed up that situation in the beginning.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't talk about this at all, but I feel like the way that he wanted Emily to get back together with him right after the show probably empowered him to do what he did.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's nice storytelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we've said, like, when we talked about, like, the Mesnick and stuff, there are many people who've gone on the show and broke up with the person they chose and didn't go back and date anyone else. And I bet you're right that Ari might not have felt emboldened to go back to Lauren or try to if he hadn't had this experience.
Yeah. Because I do think he's like a little bit spineless. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's what we saw on his season. He's a doof.
Yeah.
He's a doof who fucks, but he's a doof.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think any man has ever been sexier than Ari Leyendijk in the year 2012.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's enough to justify giving him rights.
I'd say if it were a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being Jake Pavelka and okay. 10 being men who listen to Bachelor in retrospect, I'd give him like a 6.
Oh, I was going to say 3.
3?
Yeah.
With Jake Pavelka being a 1?
Okay, no, you're right. No, you're right. 6 is more reasonable.
Like he's sorry.
I'm just a natural hater, okay?
Like he's definitely toward the middle of that rather than like far on one end or the other. But yeah. Like if you were to take every man from this show and make a graph of it, he'd appear to be doing phenomenally just because he'd be, yes. Like he and Jason Mesnick would be up there.
If you took people who are on this, like the men who have been on the Bachelor franchise, Ari's top 3 and he's not 3, for sure. Even though he did all that shit. But
it's so interesting that, like, to me, Ari and Jason Mesnick are so a cut above everyone else. And they are both people who went back to their second choice. And that really has nothing to do with why we like them so much. But I guess it is because, like, they did develop such real feelings that it makes them look better on their seasons.
I think
than a lot of men do.
Because they turned that into successful marriages. And,
yeah.
Again, Bachelor Nation will forgive anything if you have a successful
marriage. If you have a successful marriage, yeah.
I like Ari better than Jason, even though I think he's a worse person.
I mean, he's certainly sexier. Sorry, Jason.
Yeah. I just, like, I don't know. I just really like Ari.
I love Ari. I mean,
Jason, I hear his fuckboy shit, and I think, oh, my God, he's so organized.
Jason was, like, a good, solid person.
Yeah.
And similarly, like, Jason would listen and ask questions, and you'd be like, wow. But, like, Ari has more charisma.
Yeah.
Well, good job, Ari. You, as of this recording, you are the most likable man we've seen. It's bittersweet.
You'd think that would be hard, and it is, but it's also not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be bad to see some of these old friends again on Bachelor Pad.
Can't wait to get into Chris Bukowski's journey into
madness. Yeah. I believe the only way to watch this one is to rent or buy it on Amazon.
Yes. And we are going to be off for, what do we say, 2 weeks?
Yes. Yes. So we will be back with Bachelor Pad Season 3, Part 1 on June 3rd. This has been quite a ride. I think this is the most important season we've done.
This was definitely the most fun I've had doing one of these seasons, like by far.
Aww.
It's just such a rich season thematically. I still think that we need to reevaluate how we remember it as a nation. It's not good because Emily is so admirable. It's good because it is a thematically rich, complex, and complete story. With some
terrific storytelling.
Epilogues. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hats off to, like, the producers and editors on this one. Well, and I always have fun because I'm with my pal, but this was really fun.
Aww. I always have fun with you, too.
So great that we have to do this podcast. It's really fun. If you like our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to help more people find us.
For fun content and hot takes, you can follow us on social media. We're at Batch in Retrospect on Instagram and TikTok, and at Batch Retrospect, Batch spelled like Buck, on Twitter.
Bachelor in Retrospect is edited and mixed by Max Quinn and Xavier Rebetsky-Noonan. We'll see you next time.